everyone. Welcome to episode one of the RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I am Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three young boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at livelylittlecampers.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
So this week's featured topic is, well, us. We bought our first RV 4 years ago when the boys, our twin boys, were about one. Now we spend 40 to 50 nights a year traveling with the kids. People ask us all the time how that happened because we weren't exactly known as camping folks prior to welcoming our twins into this world. So we decided to dedicate this very first episode of our podcast to that very first season of camping and talk about exactly how it all happened and how we ended up part of the RVing world.
I think initially Stephanie and I knew that we loved taking road trips, and since we were dating, we took long road trips to New Orleans or Cape Hatteras, wherever it might be, and we wanted to continue doing that with the boys, right?
Yeah, I think the first summer we weren't initially planning anything. The boys were like a couple months old and we were sort of sitting around and thinking that that's what you were supposed to do with babies. And we were like, this can't be true. We have to go somewhere. We go somewhere every single summer. We love traveling. And we just decided in a minute we were going to go on a road trip with them, and we did.
And we threw them in the car and we drove to Asheville, North Carolina.
Which it was a 12-hour drive.
12 hours with the boys, it would normally take 10.
More than that. I think it probably took us more than 12 hours
and
with them.
I would say they cried almost the entire way there.
Yeah, they didn't stop. And so in the end, we did feel like we were happy that we did that. And we kept traveling that summer and through the fall. We did take road trips. We did realize we just need to get in the car and go like we always had.
But that was a trip to see Steffi's parents, and that's not a trip we can take all the time, and we wanted to be able to travel regularly, and I think we quickly realized that staying in hotel rooms with one-year-old twin boys was not an option, was not fun, was not cost-effective, was not something that we wanted to do.
Right, like the whole idea of driving somewhere and getting out of the car and going into a hotel and like having to deal with babies in another environment that was so unbaby friendly was like horrifying to us. And then on top of that, we've never been big flyers anyway. We've always loved driving places. And so then the idea of getting on a plane with kids was also horrifying. Like basically we looked at each other and figured like, we want to do this, but we want to do it so that it's fun for us and not this big old chore. And somehow we came up with the idea that a pop-up camper was the answer to all of our problems.
Well, we had gone on some camping trips when we were dating, and Stephanie's parents, too. And Stephanie's parents on one of them borrowed a pop-up. And so I think it was always somewhere lodged in the back of our minds that this might be a fun way to travel. But for the first 10 years of our marriage, the thought didn't really come back very much. But then once the boys were one and we wanted to get on the road, that idea really sort of came racing back to us. Like, let's buy a pop-up camper. Let's look into this.
Right. And a little more backstory is we had said from almost the first year of our marriage that we were going to celebrate our 10th anniversary by going to Ireland, because that was where we had our honeymoon.
Or Glacier National Park.
We weren't quite sure which one. But we, you know, big trip, we were going to go.
We had purchased the maps already.
Right. And then all of a sudden, we had babies for our 10th anniversary. And we were very excited about that. However, the big travel plans did not pan out. And we decided that we would take the money that we would have spent
which was, you know, a couple thousand dollars. We thought, let's go buy a pop-up camper instead.
Right.
And so I remember we went to Stone's Camping World in South Jersey thinking we're going to buy a camper for a couple thousand dollars.
I think we probably thought $5,000, right?
At the most. And then quickly realized that was not really how much a new pop-up camper cost. And quickly we were looking at $10,000, $12,000 pop-up campers.
Right, and every feature seemed like awesome in the newer pop-ups. Like it just seemed like we would be traveling in luxury if we bought those newer pop-ups. And the used ones we didn't know what we were doing, so we felt really nervous.
Yeah, we wanted a warranty, and Stephanie didn't want to sleep in a bed that someone else had slept in before. So
I don't know that I really said that.
You didn't say that, but we know that you thought that. I don't think I said that, no. Well, you hate sleeping in hotels for that very reason, that you don't want to sleep in a bed someone else has slept in. So that was a huge part of the attraction.
I don't know if that's a fact. A new one.
Right. Absolutely a fact. Well, so we were quickly looking at new pop-up campers. We were looking at $10,000 to $12,000 pop-up campers, right. Which was, I guess, a little surprising. But then we found out that you could have a 12-year RV loan. And all of a sudden, that monthly payment was like a cable bill.
Right. And it sort of, too, felt like probably what people do with timeshares or anything like that. It felt like a way that we could sort of make a smaller payment and have a very reasonable, comfortable way to always throughout the year be able to travel with our kids. So we did it. And we bought our first pop-up camper in May of 2010.
For our 10th anniversary.
For our 10th anniversary.
And quickly became hooked in the RV lifestyle. That pop-up camper gave us all kinds of trouble, which maybe we'll talk about in a future show. But it got us hooked into the lifestyle and made us really realize that this was how we wanted to travel with our children. It was an affordable way to travel with our children, and we could spend a lot of time on the road with them. And we fell in love. We really did. So now we want to talk about our first actual camping trip in the pop-up camper. And this harkens back to the days when Stephanie actually used to plan the trips and actually do the research. And now I'm completely sort of the general, and I'm completely addicted to being the one doing all the research all winter long. It keeps me occupied on a lot of long, boring winter nights. But anyway, our first trip was to Belle Plaine State Forest. It was a state park in South Jersey, almost near Cape May. And what are some of your memories about that first state park trip? It was a dry camping trip, no hookups.
Right. We had never camped before with hookups. So it wasn't like we weren't even thinking about that. We weren't going there thinking, oh, we want sewer and we want electric and we want, you know, all of these things in a campsite. We had only ever tent camped, or if we were stayed in that pop-up, it was dry camping. It was just like a more comfortable bed.
We didn't know what a private campground was as opposed to a state campground.
So when we went there, I think in a way we were so inexperienced that we thought we'd be able to use the pop-up.
We thought we'd be able to use the electricity, all the features of the pop-up. Just running off the battery.
Just running off the battery. And we did try to do that.
And we woke up and the battery was dead.
Right. The battery died in the middle of the night, so like the air went off.
Well, not the air. You can't use the air. The fan went off. The refrigerator went off. We just had some kind of foolish ideas about what we could do with the battery.
Right. So, I mean, I remember that. I remember thinking, oh, like, you can't just... You like everything in the pop-up doesn't just work in the middle of nowhere.
You need to plug the stupid thing in somewhere, right?
Yeah. So I remember that, and I also remember the spiders in the bathroom. Like, I'm not
gross bathrooms, and we're not saying state parks are always that way at all. Because we've like Camden Hill State Park has had I'd eat off the floor of the bathrooms there, but the state park experience was on the rougher side, and it was also cheaper, and that was a huge part of our decision to go there. It was $30.
And plenty of people are okay with that, but for me, I don't. One of sort of the operating principles of our travel is like we don't travel to suffer. Like we actually travel to be on vacation and to have a good time. And I was not happy.
One of our buddies, Joe, always when his friends say, oh, that's not camping, he says, you're right, it's not camping, it's vacation. And that is sort of an operating philosophy. I mean, once you get into buying an RV, it's not about roughing it anymore. It is about being comfortable. And we weren't super comfortable in that environment of dry camping with the little kids.
Yeah. But at the end of the weekend, we felt like champs. I mean, we did. I think we felt like we had done it all.
Well, I opened the pop-up and I closed the pop-up without breaking anything.
But it took you hours. Like hours.
The first time I opened the pop-up was possibly a two-hour operation.
And I think to close it, it took you the same. And so that whole time, I'm like walking around with... what, 11-month-old, 12-month-old. Like, I'm, like, walking around with them in the stroller, like, trying to keep them from eating pine cones and everything. And I'm thinking, okay, like, how long is this going to take?
Setup was stressful, but we did it. We made it through the weekend, and we had a really fun weekend of RVing. There was a lot of partying there at the state park at night. I remember it being kind of loud at night, that being another thing that was a bit of a turnoff.
Right. I mean, you know, of course, having the kids, that's all you care about as new parents, like with babies. You're like, is somebody going to wake up the babies? And if they do, you hate them. And so if anybody was making noise, we kind of hated them. But yeah.
So while it was a lovely state park,
we did have a good time. We felt like, wow, that was great at the end of that weekend.
We left looking at other options. And this leads me to remember that when we purchased the pop-up camper, we received a coupon booklet for buy one night, get one night free camping. And so then Stephanie, I think, started researching the coupons in that booklet. And a lot, if you're thinking about buying your first RV, I think in a lot of states you can get these great coupon booklets that Go RVing puts together with the dealers. So what did you pick from that booklet?
So I found Seashore Campsites, which was down in Cape May. And so we booked the weekend, I guess. 3-day weekend, or
we booked a 2-day weekend later to try the family private owned full hookup campground experience.
This was like we could actually plug the pop up in, and it had the pool, and it had a lake, and it had like 3 playgrounds,
like,
and
5 playgrounds.
I think that was just very appealing to me after that first weekend. I wanted things to
bathrooms.
Do. For the kids while we were there. And so we went a few weeks later, and we had an amazing
It's worth saying that Seashore Campsites is our favorite campground in New Jersey, bar none. And it has a perfect rating in the Trailer Life directory, or what's called the Good Sam directory now. And it really, truly is an awesome, awesome facility, beautiful facility, well-run, very close to all the attractions in Cape May. So it was a real exercise in extremes, going from Belle Plaine State Forest, which was nice enough, to really just a really awesome, perfect example of what the private family campground could be at Seashore.
And that's sort of, you know, if anybody has followed our blog over all these years and you've seen like the different decisions we've made about where we're staying, I think that was sort of a pivotal moment for us, where we realized that when we pick campgrounds that were more sort of really kid friendly, like in terms of having those amenities on the campground and having the playgrounds and the pool, it just helped us travel with them so much better, and it helped us relax and have a good time. And really, after that experience, we went in that direction. We've stayed at a few state parks since then.
And have loved them.
And a lot of what we talk about is more towards the future, when our boys are older and, you know, they're more in that going off and bike riding on their own kind of a stage. And we can't wait to...
We think we'll return to the state park model, because they're significantly cheaper. I mean, Belle Plaine, I think, was $30 a night, where Seashore was more $50, $60, maybe even $70 a night. But for now...
Worth every penny.
It's worth every penny to us now. And one day we think we'll go back to the state parks, particularly if we're traveling a lot. But we are family campground people right now. We love our private campgrounds.
So our next segment on the podcast is about the questions that we hear all the time from people.
And we just turned the microphone off and argued for 4 minutes about what we're going to call this segment.
Because we have no idea what we're going to call this segment, because I hate FAQs. But
I think we should call it RV FAQ. That was shot down. Okay. So anyway, this is the unnamed segment.
About questions that we get over and over and over again from people who are interested in what we do, but can't quite figure out certain aspects of it and how it would fit into their life. And I will tell you that of all of my mom friends, the most frequently asked question is, how do you get the kids to sleep?
Where do they sleep in the RV when they're so young that they cannot sleep in the actual beds?
And I respect that question, because having twins, from day one, the most important thing in our life was sleep, like getting kids to sleep. So there was no flexibility there whatsoever. We were all about the schedule. And we actually brought that philosophy onto the road with us in our RV. And I think that it did us a great service to have that idea. We basically said, how can we transfer our whole routine and all of our like contraptions and everything we do at bedtime? How can we transfer that into the pop-up? And we did it. I mean, it looked...
Yeah, you're like Napoleon when it comes to getting kids to sleep. You're very strict.
I have zero flexibility.
Zero flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I need to sleep, and I'm happy when I sleep, and I'm really unhappy when I don't sleep. So anyway, we did that. We actually slept our boys in their mini cribs, just a smaller version of a crib, for the whole first season.
Two seasons. Either way, we would strap the mini cribs on top of the roof of the Toyota Highlander. That would be the last thing I would do before leaving for every trip. We'd be waking up early, getting the kids out to the car, and then strapping, instead of surfboards or kayaks or whatever, we would have cribs on
our... There was no sleek tooling.
On our roofs.
There was cribs.
And then we showed up at the campground, and the pop-up, it actually kind of worked very nicely, and pretty much any pop-up will allow you this option. If you fold down the dinette bed, just do not use the cushions, then you can put a crib or cribs.
Or pack and play.
Or pack and play right on top of that bed. And it really works perfectly as almost like a little kind of half nursery. And then I, of course, would bungee cord those two mini cribs into different places in the pop-up camper. And it, as ridiculous as it was to haul the cribs, put them on the roof, set them up in the pop-up camper, once we were there and it was set up, it really worked very, very well for us.
Right, because the boys had their beds. Like, that was what they slept in at home, and they had them in the camper. And we would go in, and we would close up all of the canvas, right? So get rid of any of your ideas of, like, sleeping next to that open tent end and breathing in the fresh air, because we wanted them to sleep. So we would close up all the tent ends. We'd put on the air conditioner and the fan for white noise, like noise
That's
and dark.
That's a huge, huge element of RVing with kids. And another reason you want your hookups when you have young kids is the white noise created by an RV fan will put anybody to sleep and keep anybody to sleep, whether you're two years old or 82 years old.
Right. They didn't hear anything going on outside, so we didn't have to freak out about the partiers or anything like
And also in RVs can be creaky or can be noisy when you're walking around an RV at night, and noisy enough to wake up kids. And that white noise is awesome to have.
So we would close up all the canvas and put on the fan, and we would go through the entire bedtime routine with the boys the same way we would at home. Like, their whole routine. That's what we would do. And they went to sleep. And then we went outside, and we sat around the fire, and we had a really nice night. And I think that that was those experiences that first season of, like, putting the kids to bed and walking outside and sitting around a campfire and having a beautiful evening outside, like under the stars, and just hanging out with friends and
talking
was,
to other campers, not feeling restricted or constrained at all by traveling with kids, but pretty much doing what everybody else at the campground
was doing. It felt like a triumph. It really did feel like just a triumph. So then when Wes arrived, it was a very different type of situation, because we had the travel trailer at that point, and the travel trailer has the bunkhouse in the back, which has four bunks, which is great. We love it.
Yes, absolutely love our White Hawk, and we love the bunkhouse with the four beds.
But there was no place really for us to feel like we could put him, because he couldn't be in the bed in the back, and we didn't want to put him in the middle of the camper where people would be passing him by a million times a night after he went to bed, and we knew he would wake up a bunch of times and sort of everything would be chaos. So the first season, he slept in the co-sleeper by the side of our bed in the master.
Which fit literally perfectly right to the inch, which was sort of just like an awesome little surprise that the co-sleeper could fit right next to the bed.
Yeah, and that worked perfectly for the first season. He was like from 6 weeks old to 4 months old, and we were fine. And then this year, we really had a very long brainstorming session with a lot of ideas thrown out about how we were going to
work. In other words, I came up with a great idea.
Right. Okay. So Jeremy came up with a great idea eventually after nixing probably a lot of my great ideas. But anyway, he figured out. You want to say what you figured out?
Yeah. So in any travel trailer, you can sort of flip up the master bed, and there's a storage area underneath the bed. So as I flipped that up one day, kind of messing around with our bags, I realized, well, I could put his crib right here and that our master bedroom could become his nursery. So I ran inside, grabbed his mini crib, went out there, and it fit with room to spare. So that of course, meant that Stephanie and I could not sleep in the master bedroom anymore. But we had the option of sleeping in the middle on the fold-down dinette bed or back in the bunkhouse with the boys.
So, which is who we wind up sleeping with every night anyway, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
So we ended up deciding to spend the season back in the bunkhouse with Max and Theo, and they've been pretty good roommates, and yeah. It's worked out pretty well.
Everybody's getting along just fine.
It's kept the middle of the camper open, which has been great, because if somebody wants to stay up late and read, they can. If you want to, you know, if you need to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, there's not somebody sleeping out there.
And I guess just the whole thing fits into the theme, is that to us, sleep was one of the most important things when traveling.
More important than having our nice master bedroom.
So for a short amount of time, while the kids are young, we're willing to make changes that make sure that everybody gets a good night's sleep. And that is something that we feel like makes travel fun. Because if we don't sleep, people are cranky. If everybody sleeps, we wake up and we feel very excited to be doing what we're doing and being where we are.
And after 43 nights in the RV this season, we can really say everyone has really, really slept well. And basically, Wesley is the king of the RV at the moment. For this week's Camping Question Friday, we asked our readers what their favorite song, artist, or album is to play when they're relaxing at the campground. Judy answered and said that her favorite artist to listen to while relaxing at the campground is God, and we would like to agree, he's one of our favorite artists too. She also likes to listen to the birds, crickets, and other sounds of nature. But when she's driving to the campground, she listens to 70s rock, especially Three Dog Night, Chicago, and Earth, Wind, and Fire. Maybe even a little Zeppelin thrown in for good measure. Good for you, Judy. We would encourage you to crank up the Zeppelin maybe a little bit more. Our answer to the question, or at least my answer to the question, was Van Morrison. Stephanie, you? What do you like to play at the campground?
I'm always telling you to turn the music off because even though once upon a time I really enjoyed music, now combined with the sounds of my children, it just sounds like a lot of noise.
Yeah, it drives
her
batty. One of my favorite things about the RV was having the stereo and the speakers outside, and I dream all winter long about playing music at the campground, and then as soon as I put it on, I'm asked to turn it off. But anyway, thank you, Judy, for answering that question for us today. If you want to answer the question, head over to our Facebook page, our Lively Little Campers Facebook page.
And finally, if you are looking to check out some great resources for getting outside with your family, we'd love to give you some recommendations at the end of every podcast. Our friends at Campfire Magazine gave us a nice shout out on Follow Friday on Twitter, and we would like to give them a shout out back. We really enjoyed reading Campfire Magazine while we were traveling up in Maine. They have lots of wonderful articles about hiking and trails and craft beer in Maine, and we enjoyed reading all of their articles. You can go online to campfiremagazine.com. You can follow them on Instagram for lovely photos, and you can also follow them on Twitter.
And if you're in Maine and you want to send a tweet their way for recommendations for beer or burgers or food, we got quick responses back from them, and they sent us to some really great restaurants. So we like their whole operation and recommend them strongly.
So check out campfiremagazine.com. Thank you so much for listening to the very first episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we blog about our family travels at livelylittlecampers.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Lively Little Campers and on Twitter and on Instagram.
Also, please check us out on Jayco's website. We have been blogging for them all summer at blog.jayco.com. We just finished a great series on Acadia National Park. And you can also read our writing at campjellystone.com, where we recently did an article on the Jellystone in Luray, Virginia.
Tune in next week when we discuss 52 ways to keep your toddler from flooding the camper.
And our top 93 ways for making s'mores and our favorite tuna fish and s'mores recipe. And our 10 top tips for eating s'mores without getting your fingers dirty. Crank the Zeppelin, Judy. Crank the Zeppelin.